I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Another side.
Yeah. Johnson, now let's get it in. Sandy B, let's go. I got it. All right, let me get it.
Another side.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my good people here in the world. This is episode number 3 of Another Side Podcast with my co-host, Sandy Bill. Sandy, what's going on, bro?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. How you doing, mate? You well?
All is well, man. I'm excited about today's episode. We have Mr. Brian Fraser Moore. He's played with the likes of Aaliyah, Alicia Keys, Madonna, Justin Timberlake, just to name a few. There's an array of events that are happening over here. Some that are sensible, some that are not so much.
Go on. We need to hear more.
Oh man, there's so many, as I call, distractions happening. But the real and true attention, well, where we need to put our attention is, you know, where I'm coming from is like family, you know, focusing on love and
yes,
trying to create a nice space for, you know, our children to grow up and with some core values and, you know, and live a life with less distractions.
Too right.
Understanding what the distractions are versus what actually needs my attention, you know.
Hey, man.
And it's a lot of those.
With those values and everything, it's really funny, isn't it? Like, you, before you become a parent, you're like the best parent in the world and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this way, and I'm going to do that way, and I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen. I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. Real easy when you don't have kids to say that. And then you have kids, and then you realize why certain things go certain ways and why certain things happen. It's like, oh, man, okay, this is a game changer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's like what I thought was... Is it?
Yep.
What my parents told me, you know, what it was. I mean, I understood what they were trying to do. And they were trying to protect us from, you know, a lot of things and obstacles that they went through that maybe they could deter us from. But, you know, life just doesn't work that way. You know, we gotta get it how we get it. We gonna learn it how we learn it, you know, no matter how many lessons, how many times we get knocked over our head, you know, how many times we fall, you know, we're just gonna have to get it when we do. So
yeah, man, and it's crazy to be on this side of it. We spend our lives being on that side of things and thinking, I'm never gonna do that, I'm never gonna be like that, why are they saying that? And then now we are the person saying the things, we are the person on that side of things, we are the parent. And man, young people listening to this are gonna think we're old, but anyone of our generation, our age, is going to know exactly what we're talking about. It is a surreal switch of the mind where you're like, I'm that person now. I had a bit of a, there was a bit of an incident in earlier on this week. And I was out in a town, and there was a little girl who was, she wasn't with her parents, and she was on her own crying. And exactly, that was my exact reaction. I was like, this isn't right. This isn't normal. And I was halfway across the street, and I turned back, and I saw that there was no one around her. This small little girl, like maybe 2 or 3 years old. She could stand and everything, but she wasn't vocalizing anything. So I just sort of made the assumption she was maybe 2, maybe 3 possibly, but certainly not 4. So kind of on that kind of cusp. But anyway, so, and she wasn't around anyone. She was upset. She was crying. And I looked back, and there was no one else around. So I was just like, oh, I'm now the adult in this situation. Like I'm like, I feel responsible. There's no way I'm going to keep walking away from this situation. Anyway. So, yeah, it turned like, so went and spoke to her. I said, oh, are your parents around? Are your mummy and daddy around? Who are you here with? And she was just really upset, or I don't know if she was talking yet or whatever it was. But yeah, it was a bit of a situation, and people kind of started gathering around. And then eventually her parent came rushing out, her mum came rushing out from across the road. And this little girl had like managed to walk across like a quite a busy road to get to that point. Like, super scary. Anyway, my point behind all this story was, I was the adult in this situation. I was the dad, because I had my son with me, and it was like, I was the dad. I was the person in the situation. It's like, damn, like, it's crazy how life flips and life switches, and suddenly you're the one dealing with these situations and being in control of situations. But it's good, man. It's humbling. It's humbling to have these moments where you're just like, okay, I have more responsibility now.
That brings me to a subject that I love talking about, and that's humanity, right? So that was very humane, what you did, because you could have just said, oh, there's a little baby crying over there, on about my way, you know, going to get my coffee, you know, I hope she's okay. You know, the human in you, the human side in you was like you said, the parent took over. It wasn't even your child. You know what I mean? And the parent took over, and you said, let me make sure that this child is okay. You know, let me just try at least, you know, and it's a slippery slope even on this side of the world. You know, in the States, it's like you kind of don't know how to approach situations like that anymore. Like your first mind would say, let me help this child. And then your second mind is like, okay, well, if I do come in contact with this child, then it could go either way. Like the parent come out and think I'm trying to do something,
right?
You know, and then that goes left, or somebody called the police already and I'm standing there with the child, and then they think that I'm trying to, you know, certain things just cross your mind. And we've been kind of conditioned to think that way over here, you know. So I mean, kudos to you, bro. I mean,
oh man,
standing ovation.
I can't take any credit. I literally didn't do anything. I just spoke to her.
What you did was you showed enough concern to where if anything was going to happen, you would be there to step in and, like, you know, just be like, yo, we don't know who this child belongs to. Let's figure it out together, you know, as the people came around. And then, like you said, the parent just comes rushing out for whatever reason, or however the child got across the street. She's at least with her parent now, you know.
Yeah, but it's scary, isn't it?
Leaving the child out, yeah, like that by themselves is like, whoa.
And there's a million scenarios that go through your head. It's like, has something happened to the parent? It would be so rare, wouldn't it, in that situation, for it's obviously such a freak situation to have happened. But
yes,
there's loads of things you think about. Like, is everyone okay in this situation? Like, who was the kid with? Where's the kid come from? Et cetera. But yeah. Mad stuff. But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was
that was very cool. Yeah. That was very cool. Yeah, I got to do some interesting things this week. Now that, you know, things are kind of opening up. They're not quite as open, and there are a couple of TV shows and TV show performances that I was able to be a part of. But now they're doing. We're not in studio. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, you know, all of these other TV shows, they're not quite shooting in studio yet. You know, we're still type, like even the Today Show, we were in the Hollywood Bowl. I think I mentioned this episode. We were at the Hollywood Bowl and there was nobody there. Like we were set up like in the seats, and it was a video shoot.
Oh man.
So all of these shows now are like video shoots. So I've been a part of, you know, these video shoots now. Not like, you know, one take, you know, you're good, you know, multiple camera angles, multiple shots, multiple, you know, okay, let's take a break and then we'll do it again type deal. So,
oh man, I completely understand why people are doing this. And I know we have a global pandemic happening. So I completely get it. Caveat behind that. But I felt the magic of those shows, the magic of something like the Today Show, rocking up to Rockefeller Plaza, 5 a.m., freezing, doing that early Today Show. Things like that. It's just, those are the moments, aren't they? Those are the moments. And you've got one take. You don't have this info. It's like, oh, yeah, something happened with that on that one. It's like, no, there is one take and it goes out and that is it. Like, I love the magic of that. And I know we're in a different climate right now. I know we're in a different situation. But for me, that is that American live TV experience. There's nothing in the world like that. Like Saturday Night Live, when you're on that famous stage, you're standing there. And the band, the house band, the incredible, incredible house band, who I'm sure you know a lot of, and I'm sure you know a lot of those people, just absolutely slamming every tune. And it just sounds amazing right next to you. And then the camera pans over and it's your turn. And it's just, that is just, it doesn't get any more magical than that, does it? Because we always flip back to those moments of watching it on TV and all those iconic SNL performances or whatever the TV show might be. But being on that stage yourself and being in that experience, it's so surreal. And everything's always so much smaller, isn't it? When you're on these sets. And it's like, hang on. I feel like this is like a warehouse when I watch it on TV. Yes. And then you're there and it's tiny, but so magical. So I hope that things will return back to theirs, because it must be different, man, working in the video shoot environment.
It's very different. It's more... it's just super structured. Like, there's no nervousness involved, because you know it's like, we're going to do it again. So if I don't get it right, it's like, you know, we can do it again. I'll take this, you know, let them know to use my second take,
right?
You know, or use my third take or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, as a musician, that's one of the things that you kind of look forward to, you know, and I'm one of the guys that I like imperfections. Like, none of us are robots.
Mm.
You know, none of us play everything perfectly every time. You know, every time that you see the red light come on camera, you know, it's not going to be perfect every time. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but that's the nature of it, and that's the beauty of it as well. It's like, we're all in this together. We're a team, and we're going to make it work. The energy behind it, you know, the nervousness. Like, I was just thinking, like, the three things that you know, musicians really look forward to as far as performances, you know, in the States at least, is SNL for sure, the Super Bowl, and one of the performances like Grammys or something like that. Everybody's always looking forward to those performances, and in years past, of course, you had one time to do it, you know, and that was it, one take. You know, you get a rehearsal, you get the camera blocking, but everything was live, you know. But now, you know, it's pre-tape, you know, like you can perfect it and it's going to sound perfect. Even for the vocalist, like the vocalist, if they don't like what they just did, then, you know, they can do it again. And right. They can take in post-production, they can take the tracks and like, okay, well, let me vocal overdub this part and let me vocal overdub this part. I'm kind of giving away little secrets, production secrets, but, you know, but I kind of look forward to that. You know what I mean? The bleed, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're playing, like me, myself, you know, I'm playing and, you know, something happens within the band and I'm like, woo! Like, you know, like those, like, you can kind of hear the bleed and stuff like that. It's super cool. Like, it's so authentic. It's so real. You know, it's less structured, but, you know, we have to pivot. We got to learn how to go with the flow. We got to learn how to move differently, move a different way, and, you know, set up things, you know, for the future, because the future is definitely changing. As we saw it before, it's not the same.
Totally. I mean, these imperfections we're talking about, like, I completely agree. I think that's what keeps it human and that's what makes it musical. And when we're talking about imperfections, because of the personnel involved and because of the level of rehearsal and prep, these aren't big mistakes. These aren't things that people would recognize. It's the things that you as a player and you as a band in a collective, you might potentially pick up on something. It's not like a giant, massive semitone clash going into the chorus. If anyone listening to this thinking, hang on, people making mistakes, like by mistakes, we're not talking about that. We're talking about like small little things that might have happened and small minor imperfections. And I agree. It's just so nice to have that human element. I mean, looking back at Motown is it's got a massive place in my heart. I absolutely love all of the things from that label and from that era. All the Motown stuff is littered with quote unquote imperfections, but that was the music and that was the soul and that was the vibe and that was the energy. Yes. And whatever it was, setting up two mics or whatever it was they did, and guaranteed there were going to be things. There were going to be sonic things. There were going to be playing things. There were going to be certain things, but that's what makes it Motown. If they had everyone on their own individual channel and 100,000 takes to get it perfect, you don't get Motown. You would get something that would be absolutely incredible, don't get me wrong, but you don't get Motown. And I love Motown. So, and I know that things move and things change, and there is a really great side of things of being able to do multiple takes. And me and you, myself and yourself, CJ, we can record from home and send to anywhere in the world, and we both do. And that's incredible, being able to do that. That is the flip side, isn't it? Musicians, especially during lockdown in the last 2 years, we've been able to work and create and make music with people all over the world, which wasn't possible before. So it's certainly not a doom and gloom situation, but when it comes to things like those big American TV shows, I love the live nature. I love those nerves of like just beforehand. It's like, oh man, this is happening. We're about to go. They're about to call it. You see those presenters that you've seen a million times before. Oh, and it's just like, oh man, this is go time. And it's so special. So me too, man. Me too.
I miss it. I remember that. I can tell you a story real quick. The first time I did the Grammys, it wasn't with a particular, it wasn't with Rihanna. It was with, it was a medley of artists. So it was like, I think the best, the new songs of the year, whatever they all did, a medley together. So it was John Mayer, Karim Belly Ray, and John Legend.
Damn.
And I was playing in that band for all three. Okay. And it was like, you know, 5 p.m. It goes live on the East Coast at 8, right? So 5 p.m., we're all in the dressing room, and you just hear, you know, you hear people coming in, and it's like, man, you can feel the electricity. It's crazy. So we're sitting in our dressing rooms, and they didn't tell us who was opening the show. So the Grammys are good for that. They, you know, they have closed rehearsals for everybody, so you don't know who's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
So the opener is the Police, bro. The opener is a Police. So all of a sudden, you know, like I said, you hear people coming in, and then they have a clock, you know, you see the countdown till, you know, show starts.
Uh-huh.
Then the entire arena goes black. We're in Staples Center. Entire arena goes black, and you hear doom, 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 and the crowd goes nuts, and everybody in the dressing room is just like jumping up and down and like screaming like, oh my God, the Police. And it was kind of the craziest opening that I've ever been a part of. So it was like, you know, the nervousness to start, like, oh man, this is crazy. Like, this is the stage.
Mm.
Like, this is the same stage freaking Police is on. You know what I mean? Like, we're all kind of, and that was my first kind of like real award show. I don't think I've done SNL at that point, or, you know, the Super Bowl or any of those big stages. So that was one of the craziest moments. And when once we actually played and it was over like that, I'm talking about in a flash, it was over.
Yeah.
And we played and, you know, I was like, all right, I got to get my stuff. I got to rush home so I can go and check it out on the actual TV, you know, and it was so cool, man. Got to meet so many good people.
Yeah.
Hang with some of the best musicians and, you know, just kind of like a whole day affair, call time at like 11 a.m. in the morning, you know, that kind of thing. Man, I really miss that.
Oh man, really, it's just a dream, isn't it? And you're just, you're there walking around backstage and seeing all these legends and people that you look up to and people that you and hear on the radio, see on TV all the time. And it's just, it is such a special atmosphere, isn't it? And you're part of that and you're there and you're part of the whole thing. And it's just amazing, man. It like, as you were talking then, it just properly transported me back to all those American TV shows and all those award shows. And we definitely, like when during my time working with One Direction, there were some festivals and some performances where we were on the same bill as Rihanna. So I imagine me and you may have been in the same building, sharing the same stage a while ago. Isn't that crazy to think about?
It is crazy.
And how these things come around full circle. And I imagine there's every chance we were there, maybe even shared the same dressing room after each other or whatever it may be. And it's wild how these things work and how these things come around full circle.
In One Direction, you know, that was a huge, I mean, you guys were like, you guys are always gone. And it was on the biggest stages. It didn't matter when or where. And I do remember being in some cities with, you know, where you guys were. But you guys were like on lockdown. We call it Fort Knox. Y'all was on like Fort Knox, bro. Nobody could get to you guys. Nobody can get tickets. Nobody could get, you know, like it was just like, this is the biggest band, you know, in the world right now. Like you guys, no chance. You know, even our production crews, like, yo, you know anybody over in that camp? Like, that band is huge. Like, man, we can't get anything. Maybe they were lying to us or whatever, but it was definitely believable. It was like, man, that those guys are, like, really, really doing it. You know, I only remember Black Eyed Peas and most recently, like, Bruno Mars, like, actually having that same effect. Like, One Direction was definitely in that tier, you know, of artists.
Yeah,
you
man.
Could just not get to, like, you couldn't touch for real.
I guess that like 2012, that year when they just absolutely blew, and it was just that rocket ship, and we were there, man. And just to go full circle with that as well, like those American TVs were a big part of that kind of that early explosion, those early moments. And I remember being again on the Today Show stage at Rockefeller Plaza, and just you're on stage with this thing, like the boys, these artists are becoming massive as a band, and you're there, and you're on the stage. You know this feeling. You've sat amongst like artists throughout your career, and it is just incredible to see it happening. And you're seeing a completely new sea of fans from a completely different nation, and it's just like, wow, this is translating. This music is picking up and translating. And I can only imagine how that would feel as an artist, as a session musician who is there and part of it and is part of the whole thing and traveling with the artist. It feels absolutely incredible, and it's an amazing thing. I can't imagine how that would feel as the artist, to have the crowd singing your songs back and having that adulation. It must just be just incredible, that affirmation of your art, and just, this is the pinnacle. This is what you've been working for, and here it is. Here's the payoff. I mean, it must be bizarre for artists traveling to new countries and suddenly getting all this new love from new fans, and maybe not even necessarily knowing that there's a fan base there. And then you go there, and it's just, all aboard the rocket ship. But good times, man. Good times. I certainly miss coming to America, but hopefully I'll be back in not too long. That's for sure.
Yes. Yes, hopefully. The world is a different place right now. But like I said earlier, you know, low complaints, we're good. However the world is shifting, let's just, you know, go with the shift.
Yeah.
And chill and make sure our families are good, make sure our families are safe and well, and we're all good.
Too right, man. You know? Too right.
For sure.
Yeah. So I guess on that note, do you want to introduce our guest today, CJ? Who have we got on? Who's our main guest?
Another Side Podcast has another incredible guest, another incredible talent, another incredible human being. He's a comrade in the industry, but most of all, he's a brother. I'm not sure if he's known this, but you know, he's one of the, I won't call him an OG, but I'll call him an OG. To me, that I looked up to, took nuggets from, you know, watched from afar, you know, and then once we got to meet, you know, grown closer together as brothers and, you know, in this industry and helping each other out and, you know, families knowing each other and all this good stuff. But another side pod, please welcome Brian Fraser Moore.
Thank you for having me, man. Great to see you, Chris. Great to see you, Sandy. And yo, feelings is mutual, man. I know this ain't about you, but I gotta say, man, Chris is such a huge inspiration, just as a human, a husband, a father, an icon in this game, man. So much respect to you. I always love what you're doing, your spirit, and the whole nine. So I love that dude, man.
Man, I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's great to have you on. For the people who are obviously listening and can't see, Brian is in an absolutely incredible spot right now. Behind him is a rack of about 30 snare drums, LED lighting. It looks absolutely incredible. So I'll paint the picture. It looks absolutely amazing there. Where are we talking to you from, Brian? Where are you at the moment?
Just at home, pre-COVID. Me and my wife was blessed to get a new house, and we built a studio, like, piece by piece, putting it together. So that's where I'm sitting in the control room right now.
Lovely. And I mean, it's just amazing to have a space, isn't it? Especially during the COVID times and over the last 2 years, to have a creative space to be able to go into and sort of make that a home as well has been, like you say, just an absolute blessing over this last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being able to have a space at home, I never knew this side of the game. I'm always on the road and stuff like that. But geez, it's like the littlest thing, like monitor guy, put some more kick drum in my mix. So it could be the littlest thing. I've been having a ball, me and my wife just really putting it together and learning it. So I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm. And all those things, when we're on the road, we don't see all those small, minute details, do we? Those things that are going on behind the scenes. Look, we don't realize how much goes into it. And then when you get those peeks behind the curtain and you get those little looks at the different things that are happening, it's like, wow, people are putting in a serious shift. And we don't always see that when we get onto a stage and plug in and play. There's a lot that goes into starting a show and having a big show on the go. So it's a humbling experience, isn't it? Having to do these things ourselves.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, we play on these stages, we do all of this, and then it's like, where does this chord go to? what do I need, you know? But it's shout out to all the engineers and sound guys and techs and all of those guys behind the scenes, because I appreciated it before, but going through this, I really appreciate them.
Yeah,
absolutely. We have to, you know, in this time, pivot. You know, I use that word a lot. Got to pivot, man. Like, Demi and Danny are the Pro Tools guys, man. I want to give them a big hug. You know what I mean? Just the biggest hug. Like, it worked today. It's not working. You know, it worked yesterday. It's not working today. Like, what's going on? Can you tell me something? Like, what's happening? You know, those guys are truly, truly a gem and an asset to this game. And we've had a chance to, you know, really dive into that. You know, I have for real. And we talk about on this podcast, you know, about how, well, the last podcast for sure, Sandy has been working with this new artist. And we were talking about the importance of, you know, just with you meaning all of us working behind those artists from like the beginning, seeing the start now, you know, 10, 15 years later, you know, them lessons that you're not going to skip, those steps you're not going to skip, those lessons you got to learn. Let's talk about a little about the experiences that you've had with those artists and the importance of, you know, just telling the truth, really. Like, if you're asked a question about something, you just like, you know, be blunt about it. You know, not afraid to tell the truth because you're holding something back, you know, not telling them and not expressing how it's supposed to be, you know, could potentially hurt them down the road. We were talking about that last podcast, and I know, you have a ton of experiences, you know, experiences with artists like that.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's such a key thing. I believe that that's could be the difference between you being successful and unsuccessful in that whole reign, because you got to be 100. Chris is one of the most honest guys, and the way his honesty is you just love it. He found a way to just, I'm going to tell the truth. And it's like, yeah, you know what? That's right. He's absolutely right. But I think just with your musical directors, with your artists, with your crew, with everybody around, just being 100% who you are will be an asset to you. And that creates your personality in the industry and in the game and things like that. And also, I think that it says a lot about you, your character as a person, to be able to be that guy that, you know, tell me the truth, man. How does this sound? Like, well, actually, it could be this, instead of just saying, yeah, it sounds dope. Yeah, it's killer, you know. And it's like, then they found out later on it's not killing. And then they turn around and look at you like, okay, we know what type of person this is. It's just, for your character, it's just best to be that way and to find a way to be honest, that it's not offensive, that it doesn't turn anyone off, but still you being you at the same time, people can appreciate that. I remember being in rehearsals with Madonna for the first time, and she would come in and she would talk about politics and she would talk about religion and stuff like that. And I was quiet. I was like, this is Madonna, man. I ain't saying nothing. Like, you know, out of my pay grade. And I remember somebody in management coming up to us saying, hey, you have to interact. You have to talk. You have to say what you feel, because it makes her feel uncomfortable. And it was like, whoa, okay. So let me find the true person inside of me to be that, because it's mandatory at this point. So I think that's a big part of being successful in any industry, but especially in our industry.
Yeah, and being honest with what we're doing as well, because at the end of the day, we don't all know everything, do we? No matter what people sometimes like to put out, we might have a mastery of a certain area or a certain thing, but it's impossible for us to know everything. And there's so much to be gained from just, you hear something or there's something going on. Hey, what is that? Could you tell me what's going on there? What's happening? What are we doing there? And then you have that skill, don't you? Whereas if you stay silent and pretend you know it all, you don't ever know it. You're never going to know it because you've never asked. So you pretend that you know it. And if someone says, hey, do you know about this? And you go, yeah, yeah. You don't. And the only person that knows that is you. Everyone else thinks you do know it. So then you get booked for it. And someone says, oh, yeah, you do this. Here you go. Here's a bit of work. And you'll be like, I don't know this. I'm going to have to call someone who does know it, who you could have just asked in the first place. And I think there's this thing, and there's this, I guess, almost bravado with musicians of, if I show a weakness, if I show that I don't know something, it makes me less. It makes me less of a musician, less of a person, less of whatever. But it's actually the exact opposite. I love it. I love it when someone asks a question. It's something like, oh, can you do this? It's like, can you clarify that? Or could you go into that in a bit more detail? Or let's have a look at that. Because you guys know, when you teach someone something, you learn a massive amount yourself. Even if it's something you already know, you're like, why do I do that? And then you pick it apart. Some of the stuff that we do, it's like, I've never thought about why I do that. But then someone's asked me, you're like, true. I guess this has happened because of necessity or because I saw a reason why I had to fill that gap or whatever it might be. And then you're there and you've kind of analyzed yourself as well. But I think any young musicians or any young artists, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to show what might feel like, it might feel like a weakness or a vulnerability, but it's actually a strength. It's a strength to ask for guidance. It's a strength to ask for help. And I'm sure you guys have seen it as well with some artists when they're willing in those early stages to just absorb everything. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to get involved in this. I want to see what's going on there. Let me get involved in that production as well, or whatever it might be. It's amazing to see that, isn't it? And those, a lot of the time, those artists thrive in whatever area they're going into.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great point. And that definitely goes along with what Chris was saying earlier about, you know, being able to speak the truth. Here's another aspect of it is not knowing something and finding the power in that. Like me and my wife talk about it all the time. I really find power in not knowing something. Mm. It's like, you know, Ryan, you know, what did you think about Louis Belson when he played on such and such? I'm like, I never even saw that before, yo. Like, where is it? There's a power. And plus, if we're talking about interacting with people, give people a chance sometimes to inform you about something. They love that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They love, no, I never saw that. Oh, you never saw that? Oh, man, let me send you this clip. It's like, yeah, you know, it's, the conversation and the camaraderie is moving. So I find complete power and not knowing something. I'm totally comfortable with saying, I don't know what that is. But my strength on the other side will say, once you tell me what it is, I'm off to the races. So to do my homework on stuff that I don't know is an important part as well, too.
Mm. All right, Brian, we know you as the drummer extraordinaire, the entrepreneur. And now you're stepping into another level of entrepreneurship, partnership, and collaboration. Scrolling through Instagram and all the socials, and I see this VR company that you got popping. Can you tell us a little bit about that, bro?
Yes. I've been blessed to be a commercial partner with a tech company called Iora. Iora VR, and they're dealing with virtual reality. We all are experiencing this virtual reality thing now. But what they're doing, amazing thing they're doing, is they're creating a platform for artists specifically that you can have your own concerts. You can go in, we're partnered with Center Staging. So now we bring all of our artists into Center Staging. We perform. CeeLo just finished his full concert. He did a full concert. Ro James is doing all of his new material for his record. And so we record them in green screen and we record them with our 360 cameras. So we capture that content and now we're going to promote it to the world that you and all of your friends can come in together to go watch CeeLo, like the real CeeLo, not an avatar or cartoon animated CeeLo, but the real CeeLo. And it's open to the world. So say, for instance, you see Babyface and who is he on there? Babyface was on there with somebody on Versus. I forget who it was.
Teddy Riley. Yeah.
And they had 750,000 people on that stream live. So now we offer a platform that's endless for people to actually go to a concert while we're on lockdown. We're partnering with a lot of touring promotional companies because that seems to be the way to go while we're in this whole COVID pandemic thing. So it's really incredible. I can go on for days, but we go back over the content. We superimpose the sky, the stars. We can have CeeLo flying from the clouds, you know, doing whatever we want. Me personally, I'm premiering my album in VR. So I'm going to release my album in VR for a concert. I'm doing a competition that who wants to be in BFM's band. So you can also send your submissions and we can do a performance and green screen in VR. It's crazy. So anyway, I'm a part of this company now, which is really embarking on the next level of technology, trying to merge music and VR together.
Wow, man, that's got me excited just even hearing about that. I can't wait. This is amazing. And I think for everything that the pandemic, for the areas where things have been taken away, we now have things like this. Things have been added. We've got these amazing new things that potentially wouldn't have existed previously or would have existed in a different form or a different format. And now we have this whole new way of consuming concerts and music and immersing ourselves in it, and there are so many positives to also be taken from all of this, and that's one of them. I mean, it must just be so exciting being involved in this.
Super exciting. And I'm kind of on the business side of it. You know, I have 8 employees here, weekly team meetings. I'm talking to billionaire investors like, wait a minute, what? Hey, let me tell you about BFM World. You know, try to put my pitch in there. But it's a different road for me. It's super exciting for me because it kind of gives me a new spark that's kind of connected to the music industry. So now I'm in charge of these artists. And CeeLo, we need your photo, bro. Where your Ro James? Can we get all the, you know, so that side, which kind of plays into what we see, you know, as how we work in this industry. We also have a stadium. We have a VR stadium, and it's endless amounts of people. You can have 1 million, 5 million, 7 million people in there. We have a full stage. We have video walls. We have the lights, the smoke, all of that stuff. So it's going to be fun.
What's the name of the stadium? Is it BFMworld.com stadium?
Yeah, mine will definitely be the BFM World Stadium. I'm still trying to work on the name, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Oh man. Hey yo, tell us about the process of this album. I've heard a video or visual album. I've heard of that before, but a virtual reality album. Please expound more about that one, bro.
Okay, absolutely. So we figured, you know, playing venues, if I was lucky enough to play at a arena, you know, I would cap out at 30,000 to only those people that are there. So we figured, you know what, we might as well release the record, right? Since we can record green screen, so I can record my bass player green screen, my guitar player, the vocalist, the horns, everybody green screen, and offer a concert as to the world, right? Endless amount of seatings overseas. Everybody can see at the same time, as well as I have my VR room. So what I will do is invite everybody into my personal VR room, and we'll have a meet and greet of all the musicians with the Iora glasses. Keep in mind, I have my weekly meetings with the staff in VR every week. So we put the glasses on and we can see each other and we can talk to us. So that's kind of the thing about inviting people into the VR room for a meet and greet. Here's a preview. This person is talking. Now just come and join me in the stadium for the full performance. After the full performance, you can buy BFM World shirts there. You can click and buy the shirts. You can do whatever you want in there. So that's kind of the process is, hey, we're going to do a release of the album. Come in and to the meet and greet where you can meet all the players, the writers, and all of that. We can talk about what the inspiration and the process was. And after we do that, everybody come on over to the stadium and see the whole performance of the record. And then we'll release it on all of the regular platforms, Spotify, Apple, and all of that.
Wow. Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. This is amazing. This is absolutely incredible. Yeah, excited to see all of this and where it all goes. And the possibilities are endless, aren't they, with this? There is the limitations that we would have. Like you say before, an arena is a certain cap. A stadium is a certain cap. A theatre is a certain cap. With this, there is no cap. There is no ceiling. It's an endless thing that can just keep going, keep evolving and changing. And the brakes are taken off, aren't they? It's all go with things like this. The rocket ship is happening. And to your point earlier on, people are willing to invest now in these areas, whereas before they may have been a bit more hesitant, whereas now people are seeing this quite rightly as the future. And BFM are leading the charge by the sounds of it. Incredible.
I'm trying. I'm just adventurous. If it doesn't work, then I'll think of something else.
Gotta pivot, bro. That's amazing, though. And that is inspirational, you know, to understand that there's a world bigger than instruments. You know, there's a world bigger than, you know, what you're comfortable and what you grew up doing. You know, you got to get into something else. You got to set yourself up for, you know, something new. You know, we've all learned that lesson here in the past couple of years. So it is very, very inspirational to hear, you know, and someone so close to you that's doing something of that magnitude. That's amazing, bro.
Mm.
That's super amazing. And I know it's going to go big. you know, the energy behind it is good. There's a couple of people that were in the CeeLo band that told me about it. And it was like, yeah, Brian is over here. He chilling, though. He like in the administrative joint. He, you know what I'm saying? He got on the button-down shirt looking all business, you know. So, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He did tell me about that thing. So it was, it's so good to hear that it's, you know, coming off the ground and taking off like that, man. That's super dope.
Thank you, man.
Super,
thank
super you. Dope. We're not going to keep you too much longer. I just want to give you, give our listeners, rather, a little bit more insight of who Brian Fraser Moore is. So can you just kind of just like run it down for us real quick?
Absolutely. Well, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I grew up there. I grew up in church. It was my stomping ground, 100%. It was my training ground for everything that I've ever experienced in life, musically or just as a man. And then things just started kicking off there, and I got a chance to work with Aaliyah, Genuine. This was earlier on in my career. Usher, Christina Aguilera was with her for like 10 years, and Janet Jackson. These are all blessings. I do not say them with a hint of arrogance. It's crazy when you think back. I'm sure, Chris, you do the same thing. It's like, geez. But Christina Aguilera, Janet, Madonna, Babyface. It's been a great ride. Super Bowls, switching over to television shows, working, reading charts, working with Ricky Minor. Chris, you already know you can't come in that room unless you have some idea of how to read that paper. But all of these experiences up until presently now, where I'm trying to switch over. I have the home studio, so I've been doing a lot of recording for shows and films. A film I was a part of called Tuesdays and Strangers won an Oscar. That was totally unexpected. It was like, yo, can you play on this? And I was like, yeah. And it's like, the money is not good. It's like, I don't care. Then it's like, yo, we just won an Oscar. It's like, what? Wait a minute.
Send me the plaque. Right.
So I'm just thankful for the ride, you know, as God has really been leading me through all of this. Even with all of those accolades, I think the biggest part is just the interaction with different personalities, different businesses, and seeing how people think and knowing that I have to become that, a little of this, a little of board meeting, a little of not knowing stuff, a little of asking and communication, just human traits that we don't really ever talk about, because, you know, Instagram is what it is, but real life is what it is. So I'm thankful for the ride and the accolades, but mostly I'm thankful for the experiences and how it's shaping me as a person.
Incredible. It's always just so amazing to hear people's stories and to hear the journey everyone goes on as a musician and the similarities and the differences. It's incredible. And with the podcast, we're always trying to give new artists and new musicians and up and coming people anything we can, any guidance we can, and any areas that we can hopefully help and hopefully impart some of the wisdom that we've gained over time with our listeners. And for you, for working with such an amazing array of incredible international established acts, household names, again and again and again, is there specific things that you can point to and specific attributes, not necessarily of individual artists, but what common things do they share that you believe is a part of their success and is an element of their success? Is there anything that you can pinpoint that you can think, yeah, you know what, a lot of them had this or a lot of them had that? Are there any elements that spring to mind?
Absolutely. I mean, the tough part is recognizing that you are helping an artist fulfill their dream. So one thing I've learned from a musician, a hired gun position, is that they're all artists and what that really means and how they want things to be and where they're to facilitate for what they want to be. So they all have the drive. They all want what they want. They all want it to happen really fast. And they're just really focused on the final product, whatever it may be, hip hop, pop, rock, whatever it may be, they're really focused. So for me, knowing that that is my demographic of people and mentalities that I'm working with, I then have to become what I aspire to be, like with Chris Johnson or like with Ethan Farmer or with names and people that I know that their spirit is able to facilitate and work with any type of artist. No matter what they ask for, I can facilitate. No matter if they're upset and pissed off and yell at you, that I can still adjust. No matter if they're inviting you into their personal space, that I still know how to adjust. So it's really what I see with all of the artists that we work with is that they're artists. They want what they want. It's supposed to happen. You're getting paid to facilitate that. So at the end of me noticing that, there's still another side of me working on myself to be the best I can for that. Now when you step into your own thing, like Chris does his own record and people are their own artists, then you can become the artist. But the biggest thing I would say to up and coming, all of these talented, killing, amazing musicians that I see, I could never do that. But what I see is that it's more so the personality will dictate what you play. When am I playing too much? When am I not playing enough? Like, it's like, just get that personality together and be open to the music, be open to the artist, be open to the personality, be open to the constructive criticism, all of those things, and it'll guide you to where you need to be.
And a lot of those tidbits, man, you're speaking of also works in the regular everyday life realm as well.
Absolutely.
And that's you know, that's what we miss a lot, man. We miss that part of the human factor of it. You know, if we get that together, you know, again, it's the last couple of years, you know, that just kind of punched us in the face to realize it is, you know, we get that together and life could move a whole lot smoother, you know, put things in its proper perspective. Mm-hmm. and life will begin to show you things that you've never seen before, you know, and keep yourself aligned with the good stuff, you know, and God. Mm-hmm. You know, keep God first, you know.
Absolutely. One of my friends said, he said, just a quick analogy, he said, man, I'm always seeing these drummers I ain't never heard of on the cover of magazines, man. I was like, mm-hmm. I said, well, you are mad about that? He said, yeah, man, kind of bothers me, man. They'll never, you know, put this person on. I said, now, how do you think, because it's politics, but how in the world do you think they got on that cover? I don't know, man. You know, it's a race thing. It's a poor thing. It's a rich thing. It's a whatever thing. I said, man, it's that personality thing, man. You don't see that guy behind the scenes just reaching out to the company saying, hey, what's up? Or how y'all doing? Or whoop-de-whoop. And that thing speaks more volumes than your playing, than your art. So just a quick.
Yeah, never think that you're above the next man, you know, and that's where the entitlement comes in. Like, we about to go to a whole nother thing now. You know, you feel entitled that, you know, because you feel like you're at a certain level, or people your whole life have been telling you that you're at this level of, you know, artistry, and you start believing it and drinking your own sauce to where you don't feel like you need to do the work, you know, and doing the work is that's very important. And some people are willing to do it, others are not. You know, and the ones that are willing to do it sometimes and more or less gets the results that they're looking for. So that is the perfect analogy, you know. Keep your personality intact, you know. But we can keep going on and on about this.
Helping each other out as well. I mean, it's massive. The whole thing of, I was listening to something the other day and it wasn't actually to do with music, but they were talking about there's enough for everyone to eat. And it's the same in the music industry. It's not this thing of, I need to get enough just so I can eat, and I'm not going to give anyone else. And it's not the case. We can all spread things around, and we can all help each other out, and we can all, there is enough for us to all be able to do that, rather than closely guarding everything that we do and keeping it all to ourselves. I feel like the best things happen when you do get people involved, and you do pass things on, and you do receive things and give things and all these different aspects to it. And that's where it really is at, isn't it? Because if we spend our whole careers and our whole lives just making sure we're okay, and that it ends with that, it ends with, oh, if I'm not involved, yeah, I'm not into it. There's a limit to that, isn't there? And I think it all goes with, like, just like you guys were both saying, the personality element of being a musician and making those inroads and making those connections. Like you say, there's a reason why those people are on the cover. They've taken that chance. They've like, hey, I've got this contact, I'm going to get in contact with them, and who knows what will happen. Maybe nothing will happen, but you know what? Let's see what they want to do. And then, hey, can I get on Drummer Magazine? The person goes, actually, we're looking for someone for this month, whatever it might be. It's a bit far-fetched, but these things happen, right? And we've all been part of those situations and taking these chances. So it's the easiest thing in the world to say, it's all right for that person. Look at that person on the cover. They must have just got a phone call out of nowhere. It's like, I don't think so. They've made that. Yeah, they've made that happen.
By human, I think we're like that, to naturally feel that. But I think it's like what you do with it. Because if I see Chris Johnson on the cover of a magazine, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to be like, yo, I need a cover too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to look at Chris and be like, yo, how did he get? No, Chris Johnson, he got a cover? Yo, man, I got to get me a cover. All right, let me reach in my bag and see. And that's natural as humans. That's okay. But the minute you start, like, judging a person for their work ethic and their connections, it seems a little weird.
Very.
Mm.
Tell us, man, how can we get in touch with you? How can we reach you? How can we follow you? How can we get down with the BFMworld.com?
Absolutely. My website is BFMworld.com. We offer a host of services there. I'm very proud of our consultation and private lesson services, because when you see it face value, you see, okay, lessons and all of that. But we're really diving into those things, like playing a show. Like, what mentality does it take? Listening to the music. What do you put? We have a video analysis program where we actually have drummers and musicians perform. And then we come back and we go section by section, just talking about it, just the different options and things that you can do. So we offer a host of services there at bfmworld.com. Instagram is bfm22 and bfmworld, two different pages. You guys can go check out my personal or professional life. We're on Facebook. We're on all of those media, but bfmworld is the landing page for everything that we're involved in.
Amazing, man. We're eternally grateful that you had a chance to stop by the Another Side podcast with Chris and Sandy. We also do a emerging artist segment where an up and coming artist comes on, plays some music, and you kind of give a little feedback and a little direction to that. If you can stick around for that, that'd be amazing, bro.
Of course. Just let me know. I'm in.
Cool. We about
anything
to,
for Chris, y'all.
Oh no.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on Another Side podcast from Long Beach, we have Loyal XI. Loyal, it's great to have you on the podcast.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
And Loyal, this is Brian. Brian is our main guest for today.
Pleasure to meet you, man, bro.
How you doing, man? Pleasure.
So okay, small story real quick. My brother, BJ, is a artist manager, and he lives in Las Vegas right now. So he's like, he always sending me music. He's like, yo, you got to check this out. So I'm like, yo, okay. All right, you on to something now. This is crazy. Like, who is this? He says, my boy, Loyal XI. I'm like, yo, he sound good. Like, so sent me the profile and everything. And I'm like, yo, I know this dude. Who is this? He said, this is Denzel. Like, this is Angie's son. This is my little cousin, bro. Like, you know what I mean? My little cousin put his time and work in, put his grind in, working on his craft, and now has music. You know what I mean? I think that is super dope and inspirational at the same time. So, Denzel or Loyal, like, tell us a little bit. Yeah, tell us a little bit. I mean, we know the family is a music background, but give us a little something about how this started for you, bro.
Well, yeah, like how you said, the family background. And aside from that, on my pop side of the family, my grandparents, they owned a record shop in Compton at the Compton Swap. So as a kid, you know, I was just around that environment, and it just latched on to me. We ended up, I think this was ninth grade year in high school, I want to say. The counselor, she finds out from all the students in the school, like, oh man, I heard you doing music, you know, I heard you can sing, I heard you can rap, and can I hear something? And at the time I had no music, and I just a cappella just rapped for her. And she was like, you're really good. She's like, I have this program that you can attend to. And they give away, it's a program, basically, they give you free studio time. You can learn a trade, whether it's videography, music, graphic, whatever. You can go there and actually learn it. It's like a school, but you don't have to pay anything. I'm like, what? Like, I never heard nothing like this. So I go, I do a little audition. They love me. I get in the studio and I just become a student. And this is summer 2012. And from there, we ended up being placed in the Grammy Foundation, where I became a student there. And for that entire summer, it was just going to the Grammy Museum, learning production, song structure, music theory, things of that nature. And from there, I was just like, yo, I love this and I want to do this for the rest of my life. How do I get in? And at that time, you just think it's make music and all of a sudden there it is, you're successful or you pop it. But it's a business behind it. So I had to learn the business end of things. And then from there, it's just like, you know what? I really do love this on the business and on the artistic side. So that's pretty much how I got started. And in 2012 was the first time I released my first body of work. So yeah.
Incredible, incredible. We're always talking on the podcast about the stories and the different ways in which we all come into the industry and the different ways we all get started. And it's often a person, isn't it? There often is a person at some stage that really does change our path and change our direction where we're going. And you never know when you're meeting this person quite how big that change is going to be. But it sounds like that teacher was a massive part of your journey and has completely changed where you went with it all. And we're all about, we're saying to other people, we're saying, respect those people that give you those moments of, I'm going to give you a chance. I see something in you. And equally, it's also down to us, isn't it, to pass that forward. And when we see something in someone, giving them a chance as well is a massive thing. And we want to play some of your music to the listeners. We have a track queued up here that we're going to play right now for Brian to hear as well and for Brian to give his thoughts and feedback on as well. So here we go. Here's a track by Loyal XI.
Sell your soul for that dollar bill. You ain't got a power trip, no matter how that power feel. I woke up feeling like a heavyweight. And you know I'm from that city where they regulate. And that's worth the name. Salute Warren G. I ain't gotta rip a game for my day ones to ride for me. And that's no shot, and that's no shade. This is my real life, and I'ma live twice 100. Get it how you live, and no matter how you live, it's only 100. The realer the better, whatever is clever, just keep that shit 100. Get it how you live, and no matter how you live, just keep that shit 100.
Hey.
That don't sound like my little cousin, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like I can't remember, you know, aside of all of the, you know, family functions as of late, seeing you. But last I remember, it, you know, that the personality and the artistry that I'm hearing in that track, bro. I don't remember seeing that. It is very, 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 very good, man, to hear you doing your thing, bro. Like I'm speechless, bro. Like seriously.
Thank you.
Like seriously, I am, bro. I'm super proud of you, bro. Keep doing what you're doing.
I mean the world, man. Thank you.
Absolutely, man. All the cadence, yo. Come on, man. Come on, cadence. I'm huge on cadence, man. And I love just the realness in your voice. You know what I mean? Like no gimmicks. Now I hear you talking on the Zoom and then I hear the record. I'm like, okay, this is real. The cadence is sick. The track is definitely in there. Like I'm excited to hear more from you, man. And congratulations on just your artistry, man. That's something I'm trying to push myself into a position. So I'm definitely inspired just by hearing your stuff, man.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that, for real.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great, man. And obviously within that, you're talking about Warren G and Regulate. Mm-hmm. And as a bass player, you've got to know and you've got to appreciate that, don't you?
How old are you talking about Warren G?
I'm 25. I'll be 26 in November.
Much respect. That was the OG, man.
Yeah. I just become a student, you know?
Yeah.
Those are the guys that paved the way for me. And I'm not necessarily trying to walk in the footsteps they did in the city, just more so share my perspective of growing up, you know, where I come from. And it's just my salute, paying homage to them, you know what I mean, with that bar.
Yeah. And especially with Regulate as well, it's that ultimate thing of utilizing a loop, and the loop at no point feels repetitive. There's the perfect amount of things cutting out, coming in, the lovely roads behind it, with everything, with that song. It is just incredible. And this is what you've done with your track as well, that thing with the trap hats, and the trap hats come out and let the synths breathe. And it's all of that, isn't it? It's taking the audience on that kind of the motion behind the music without necessarily making it obvious. It's not like one of those big orchestrated blam, bring it down and then everything comes down. It's not that. It's the subtleties behind it. And man, as soon as I heard that on that track, that Regulate was just, again, as a bass player, was just such a massive track for me. The second you hear that line, it's just like, that is it. And there's been so many of these throughout history, hadn't there? And when we see some of this old footage of people like Dre, for instance, I know that's a really obvious kind of producer to use, but when you see Dre with some of the iconic things that he's created, and you see it when it's formed in the studio, it's like, hey, I got this idea. It's like, I'll play the beat. And then you hear this beat or this hook that you've heard 1 million times now, and you hear it for the first time, and these artists in the studio hearing it and going crazy and going, oh, I can throw something on that. So there's a lot to be said about, especially the modern day production and the producers around as well. Are you producing this music as well, Loyal?
I do produce as well, but I can't take credit for that record right there. That record was produced by Byron Johnson, who's also my manager. So he killed it. He sent the track over, and I was like, yo, this is fire. What am I going to do? I hear so many different ideas. And I just sat there for a minute, kind of meditated over it. And I was like, you know what? I got to talk my talk on here, and I got to say something. And then also add some harmonies in the background just so it doesn't feel just too raw. You know what I mean? I want to show a little musicality in it as well. So that's how that record came about. You know what I mean?
Amazing. Bro, sounds great, man.
Yeah.
And shout out to BJ, Byron Johnson.
Yeah.
Big bro. Tell us where we can find your music and give us all your socials and everything.
Absolutely. You can find me everywhere at Loyal XI. And then we're talking social medias. It's Loyal XI _. That's LOYALXI _.
Beautiful, man. We appreciate you coming on and sharing your music with us and sharing your time, man. We love emerging artists, you know, the up and coming artists that are coming in. This is a platform that we would like to share with them. So, you know, if you're listening and you do have music, you know, and you're up and coming, please hit us at Another Side Pod on all socials and # Another Side Music. Let us hear your music. We'll reach out to you, get a release form out to you to sign so you can come on and be on one of our up and coming episodes of this podcast. Loyal, thank you, bro. Brian Fraser Moore, thank you.
Yes, sir.
You are the best. We appreciate you guys' time. We're going to let y'all get out of here, man.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I got it. All right, let me get it. Let's set the record straight to elevate the people. Now's the time to never wait for better days to reach you.
Amazing. Man, great guests.
Yeah, man, amazing. Really, really, really amazing podcast today. I really enjoyed all of the content. You know, it's not just about music, and there are a lot of things in music that we can use in real life, you know, that we can apply to our lives, our daily lives, man. And it's so incredible to hear, you know, others speak and confirm the same thing. Like, you're not crazy in thinking that, you know, this is actually a very cool and genuine way of looking at certain things, you know, in the music industry.
Totally, man.
Parallel to life, you know.
Absolutely. I feel like I went to school today. I went to school talking to Brian and just hearing all these new things that I don't know anything about. It's amazing to hear about these new technologies and the VR stuff that he's talking about. It's just the scope behind that is just completely endless. So absolutely incredible. Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out. Obviously, we have a lot of people that we know that listen to this podcast, friends and family. And I want to shout someone out because it was really nice to hear from this person, and it was completely unexpected. It came out of nowhere. But I want to shout out Glenn Wakeman. Glenn Wakeman is my barber. And I got down in the chair the other day, sat down in the chair. First thing he said was like, man, the podcast. I was like, you listen to it? He was like, yeah, are you kidding me? He was like, Narelle is amazing. I was like, yeah, right? She's good, right? And he was like, yeah. And he was saying, she reminds me of the artist Her, H-E-R. And I was like, wow, man, that is a massive compliment. And he spouted off a lot of things from the episodes. He had clearly listened to the whole thing. And he was like, I've never listened to a podcast before, but I just loved every second of it. So, Glenn, thank you, man. I hope you're hearing this. Thank you to everyone who's supporting us. But these bits of support mean the world for all these people taking the chance on ASP.
Glenn, you the man, bro. Spread the word. Tell everybody about Another Side Pod. And also, if we get a chance to get over there, I'll come get a little shave or something from you, man.
Oh.
And we can talk about whatever, you know, sports. We can talk about music, whatever, man. I appreciate you, Glenn. I haven't met you, but I feel like I do just by the energy. Really appreciate your support, bro.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. CJ, another episode in the bag. 3 episodes down, man.
Wow. It feels like an entire year long of potting, but we only have 3 in the bag. But it's only the beginning, and I'm excited to see what's going on in the future for us, man. This is really, really cool. I've been enjoying myself immensely, man. And these conversations just keep getting better and better and better and better and more interesting and more grown, if you will. That word, grown up. You know, we're not just talking about, you know, bullshit. You know, we're not filling the airwaves with stuff that's not tangible. And I think that's very important, you know, for the listeners to understand. You know, we're a human, we're fathers, you know, we're husbands, you know, we really enjoy what we do, but also want to recognize and honor the life that we live, you know, outside of this music and the podcast. So I'm enjoying myself. Thank you for the opportunity and joining in this journey and adventure with me, man. And it's been great. It's been great.
Absolutely, man. It's a total pleasure. Yeah. And thank you, everyone, again for listening from us at the ASP. Thank you.
Peace.
Through a century of memories of your best days, from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s, all the way to the next millennium, where you'll find from blues funk to hip hop that make you wanna pop lock, jazz, gospel, and pop. There's nothing now we can't rock.
Dub reggae, the dub step, R&B and love next. House in EDM, got you up to 3 a.m. This thing is getting biblical, from the analog to the digital, from the underground to the mainstream, the world will hear the same thing. It's classical, magical, something that we have to do, and travel through the speed of sound to give the masses proof. The music is the language of the soul, and everything is music, even if you don't claim to know. This is a healthy way to lose control of something that you never had.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.